Want to virtualize your biggest workloads? Bring the performance of cloud computing inside your data center with the only server built from the cloud up.
Hey everybody, welcome back to part 9 of our TechNet radio series on building your hybrid cloud. We've got a lot in store today to talk about self-service and on-demand provisioning of our private cloud and hybrid cloud environments using the Windows Azure Pack as a component that we can add on top of our existing deployment with System Center 2012 R2 Virtual Machine Manager. Before we get started, I'd like to introduce my special guest for today. We've got Andy Serwich with us from Trivalent Group to join us and help us walk through some questions and conversations on the Windows Azure Pack. Hey, Andy, how's it going?
Good. How are we doing, Keith?
Great. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, not a problem.
Hey, Andy, before we get started, did you want to give everyone a quick intro and some background on your role at Trivalent Group and your experience in virtualization and cloud?
Sure, I can do that. So again, my name is Andy Serwich, and I am a virtual systems administrator for Trivalent Group. And Trivalent Group is a services provider based in Michigan, and they provide services and products that help customers manage, access, protect, and store their data. Now, my role in all of that is, virtual systems administrator, like I said, so dealing with hypervisors all day long, Hyper-V, VMware, a little bit of the Citrix stuff, but I'm trying to lean more towards the Hyper-V stuff these days. And, you know, when we start talking about Azure, you know, we're getting to this point now to where we're starting to look at Azure and kind of the features that it can provide to us as a service provider. So really starting to take a good hard look at it and, see what it can do. And thus far, you know, with the industry going towards a cloud approach, personally, just looking at Microsoft's strategy, that's kind of my preferred provider for cloud is Azure for sure.
Yeah, that's great, and definitely when we talk about Azure, a couple of pieces to keep in mind is that there's really a couple different ways that we can look at Azure. We certainly have our Microsoft Azure public cloud platform that currently runs worldwide across several Azure global data centers. In fact, mm-hmm. at our Build conference a few weeks ago, we announced that by the end of 2014, we expect to have as many as 16 global data centers with literally hundreds of thousands of virtualization hosts that are all on-demand resources that can be provisioned by customers as needed, running Windows Server 2012 and Hyper-V technologies as the virtualization layer. But in addition to that public cloud offering, we've also taken the approach of taking a lot of the intellectual property from the Microsoft Azure Public Service and making it available as a free download that can lay on top of System Center 2012 R2 and provide that same type of great on-demand self-service experience for private cloud environments as well. I don't know about you, Andy, but I've seen a lot of interest when I talk to IT pros about Azure, about that private cloud offering. We call it the Windows Azure Pack, because yep. what it allows is it allows IT pros to present to their various application owners and administrators the same web-based self-service interface for managing resources, whether those resources are located out in our Azure public cloud or whether they're located in their on-premises private cloud environment. Have you seen a lot of interest in that approach as well?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of interest. I've gotten a lot of questions on it too. When we're talking public cloud offerings, I think that's one of the differentiating factors, you know, between Microsoft and the other public cloud providers is they give you this hybrid cloud approach, you know, kind of what this whole series is about, right? So, you know, one of the key factors there is the Azure Pack, as you were saying. Especially from a service provider perspective, if we can lay the Azure Pack down on top of a SCVMM instance and give our customers control over their own resources, and then, you know, we just adjust the billing on the back end retroactively, you know, it's smooth sailing, that's for sure.
Yep, definitely. No, it's a great solution, and that hybrid cloud management approach that you touched on is really key in our strategy, because as we know, talking with IT pros in the enterprise, there's a lot of interest in cloud, but the interest isn't exclusively in just public cloud. It's in public cloud and private cloud, and in some cases, hosted cloud offerings. So our strategy with System Center and Azure Pack and related technologies is to provide a consistent management interface across all those clouds so that IT pros have one tooling to manage all their resources, regardless of the cloud platform that those resources are running in, public, private, or hosted clouds. Well, Andy, does it make sense to maybe drop over into our lab and take a look together at Microsoft Azure and the Windows Azure Pack?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, great. Well, I'll meet you over in the lab in a few minutes.
Okay.
Well, hey, Andy, here we are over in our lab environment. And so far, we're looking at, through our web browser management portal interface, we're looking at the Microsoft Azure public cloud platform and its current management portal. And as many of you may be aware that have been listening to our various episodes here on TechNet Radio, Microsoft Azure is our public cloud platform that allows IT pros to easily go out, browse out, sign up for an Azure subscription. In fact, we've got a great free trial offer, and then be able to use it for on-demand provisioning and management of websites, virtual machines, storage, even entire virtual networks. If I scroll down a little bit here, we've got networks as well that you can set up for more complex application scenarios where you have multiple virtual machines that need to run and communicate together in a public cloud platform. So we're seeing a lot of interest and a lot of growth on the Microsoft Azure platform. In fact, a few weeks ago at our annual Build conference, we announced over 40 new enhancements to Microsoft Azure across virtual machine support, virtual network support, storage support, a new preview of a brand new Azure management portal that'll be coming into place in full production in the coming months, and a host of other new features. In fact, if you're interested in finding out more details on those new changes in our Microsoft Azure cloud platform, down at the bottom of this page, you'll find a link to an index of all of those new features with more details. So be sure to take advantage of that. So the Azure management portal for Microsoft Azure, our public cloud platform, is great, easy to use, easy to navigate platform for being able to manage these public cloud resources. Where the Windows Azure Pack comes in is that provides us with a set of materials that we can install in our environment on top of System Center 2012 R2 and Windows Server and Hyper-V to create the same Azure-like self-service experience, but in our private cloud, in our on-premises data center environment. And you'll notice over in my web browser, I've got a couple other tabs open as well. If I switch over to this first tab, we're looking at the Windows Azure Pack admin portal. So this is locally running in my own data center. And this is the portal that I, as the cloud provider to my users in my organization, would use to set up my virtual machine clouds that I wish to delegate access to, and even set up plans and user accounts to control access into those private clouds and control access to what level of resources those users would have available. You'll notice it has a very similar look and feel to the Microsoft Azure portal to provide that level of similarity for navigation. Now, for users, for application owners that we wish to delegate self-service provisioning capabilities to, the Windows Azure Pack also comes with a tenant portal interface. And this tenant portal interface is where they would go to provision new virtual machines, virtual networks, websites, SQL database servers, and again, has that very familiar, you know, web-based portal interface that we've come to know and love for the Microsoft Azure portal. So provide that level of consistency to users, whether they're managing resources out on the public cloud or in their own private cloud on-premises data center. Well, Andy, what do you think so far? Does that make sense from a consistency standpoint from what you're seeing?
Yeah, I really think it does. You know, it looks very similar to the public Microsoft Azure portal. And, you know, just from a user perspective, you know, it's the UI is a lot simpler than, say, SCVMM. I mean, you know, people like you and I, we know how to use SCVMM, but, you know, maybe a customer that just wants simple access to a friendly UI to make simple changes, you know, personally, I would think this is a better format for that type of user.
Yep, definitely. And it also provides us with an easy multi-tenant experience as well, so that if we're, even internally, if we wanted to split off our various business units as various tenants for billback or showback purposes of resources they're consuming in their private clouds in our data center, we can easily do that by provisioning them as separate tenants. Or in your case, Andy, as a hosting provider, you could use the Windows Azure Pack and provision out separate tenants for each of your customers, giving you a convenient way of being able to bill back for your own resources back to those customers. And then as a hosting provider, you might consider using the Microsoft Azure public cloud service as more of a perhaps a burst mechanism or for disaster recovery of your own hosted data centers or whatnot.
Right, right. Add a little bit of elasticity there, you know, to the offering. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So what happens when we install the Windows Azure Pack, you had mentioned System Center Virtual Machine Manager, is the Windows Azure Pack actually still uses Virtual Machine Manager under the covers. But instead of using the management console piece interactively, like we would if we were a virtualization admin just using VMM, instead it goes through a special API that's included with System Center 2012 R2 Orchestrator called the Service Provider Foundation API, or the SPF API. That allows this web-based portal to have a easy web-based, you know, OData aware path to being able to leverage and use VMM on the back end, essentially as a fabric controller. So the Windows Azure Pack is using VMM behind the scenes, so to speak, to still manage your virtualization hosts and storage and networking, virtual machines and private clouds. It's just using it more as a fabric controller and automation engine for being able to automate and manage the provisioning of those aspects. Well, let's take a look. While we're talking about VMM, why don't we take a look at VMM in a little more detail? I know in our last episode, we left off with some of the basics on configuring and using VMM. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to switch over to VMM inside my lab, because there are a few things that we need to consider when we're setting up VMM for use with the Windows Azure Pack, with this multi-tenant experience. So here we are over in our Virtual Machine Manager console, and you'll see we've got a number of virtualization hosts that are deployed. And just like we talked about in our prior episodes, those virtualization hosts could be Hyper-V hosts, or they could be VMware hosts, or Citrix Zen Server hosts. So VMM can use all those different hosts, and so can the Windows Azure Pack as well. So there's no absolute requirement to use Hyper-V as your host, although we feel that certainly Hyper-V in the 2012 and 2012 R2 releases of Windows Server offer some great opportunity and incentives to think about deploying those as your virtualization hosts. So just like we talked about in our prior episodes, we build out our fabric, and we've got our hosts and our networking fabric and our storage fabric. Now, a couple pieces to keep in mind is that if we're doing this Windows Azure Pack self-service, on-demand, tenant-based experience that we've been talking about, when we're building out some of these components, there are some considerations to make sure that the Windows Azure Pack can use these fabric resources through VMM properly. And one of those areas is in the area of networking. Now, earlier in our other episodes in the series, we talked about setting up logical networks and logical switches and VM networks inside VMM. Well, if we're setting up those networks for use with the Windows Azure Pack, I'm just going to right-click here on my networking fabric and create a new logical network. One of the choices that we have is how we want our tenants, our end users that we're delegating access to through the Windows Azure portal, how do we want them to be able to interact with VM networks? We have a couple choices. One choice is we could create all the VM networks for them as the fabric administrator and then assign certain VM networks to certain tenants from a delegation standpoint. If we do that, we would typically create logical networks and VM networks using our one connected network approach. and set them up much like we would if we were setting them up for our normal data center environment. The other approach, though, is if you want to empower your tenants to be able to define their own virtualized networks, their own VM networks, then what we would do is we'd want to make sure that when we're setting up the logical network, that we actually have the checkbox selected to allow new VM networks created on this logical network to use network virtualization. That way, as each tenant logs into the Windows Azure pack and creates their own virtual networks, it'll be isolating each of those virtual networks using our Hyper-V network virtualization or HNV technology. So, two choices. If we want to set up all the VM networks for our tenants, we can create them as normal logical networks and VM networks directly in VMM. If we want our tenants to be able to create their own VM networks, though, then we'd set up the logical networks with network virtualization selected in VMM, and we'd let the tenant set up the VM networks in the Windows Azure tenant, Windows Azure Pack tenant portal. Andy, does that make sense, those two choices that we have for networking?
Yeah, it sure does. It all comes down to the level of control that you want the tenants to have. And obviously, you know, from my perspective as a service provider, I would think that the more technical organizations, the one that have their own experienced IT department, I think those are the organizations you would more see having, you know, full control over the network environment, as opposed to, you know, maybe a small business that has, you know, maybe one IT person.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Or the other place that I see a lot of deployments of the Windows Azure Pack using that tenant-created VM network approach is for hosting partners, hosting providers that are using the Windows Azure Pack as part of their tenant experience for managing. That way, tenants can log into the hosting provider's tenant portal and be able to set up their own VM networks and virtualize everything off completely away from any other tenants that are running on that same cloud infrastructure.
Gotcha.
Yep, definitely. So there's some considerations with logical networks. The other considerations are around when we set up private clouds and VM templates that we wish to make available through the Windows Azure Pack. So I'm going to switch over to VMs and services here, and we'll take a look at a couple of our private clouds in VMM that we previously created in some of our other episodes. And if I right-click on one of my private clouds and go into Properties in VMM, we'll see that there's a tab called Capability Profiles. Now, normally in VMM, when we're creating a private cloud, we tag that private cloud with a profile based on the type of virtualization hosts that are within that private cloud. So we might say Hyper-V or Hyper-V and VMware, or maybe we've got a combination of all three. When we're using the Windows Azure Pack, we let the Windows Azure Pack manage the private cloud resources that are deployed. And in order to tell it that this private cloud is available for the Windows Azure Pack, we want to make sure that all of the capability profiles are unchecked. Basically, what that's telling VMM is, VMM, don't you try to deploy anything yourself to this private cloud. Instead, let the Windows Azure Pack automate you and tell you what to deploy into this private cloud. So we need to make sure that these profiles are cleared. If we don't have those profiles all deselected, the private cloud won't appear as an option within the Windows Azure Pack portal for configuration and for tenants to be able to use. So that's another piece. And then the last piece is for VM templates. For VM templates, I'm just going to switch over to my library here and take a look at a couple of my templates. So I've got a web server template, and an app server template, and a DB server template. Well, if we go into the properties of that VM template, and we drill down under our template property configurations, we've also got, similarly, for our VM templates, a cloud capability profile, cloud compatibility profile, essentially. And just like for our private cloud definition in VMM, we want to make sure that all of those capabilities are unchecked as well. In addition, for any disks that we're attaching to our virtual machine template, we want to make sure that we're specifying the operating system so that when those VM templates are poked through to the Windows Azure Pack tenant portal, the Windows Azure Pack knows what type of operating system is being deployed by each of these templates. And we have the option then of being able to associate different templates to different plans. We might want to have just Windows Server templates available on some plans or some templates, and have Linux Server templates available, for instance, to other tenants on other plans. So those are some of the common considerations that you want to think about as you're setting up your logical networks, your private clouds, your VM templates, specifically for use with the Windows Azure Pack portal interface. Andy, any questions or additional observations that you may have seen around those areas?
No, I think all the documentation I've read and, you know, the stuff that I've demoed myself, you know, that pretty much covers it from what I've seen, you know, at least from a configuration standpoint.
Great. Now, we had mentioned, once we've got VMM set up, we had mentioned that the Windows Azure Pack actually interfaces into VMM through another component called the Service Provider Foundation, or SPF. And as I had mentioned a little earlier on this episode, SPF is included with System Center 2012 R2 Orchestrator. It's a component that you can install when you double-click on the Orchestrator installation wizard. And typically what we'd recommend is that SPF component would be running in a separate virtual or physical server from the VMM management server and from your Windows Azure Pack portal components. So I'm just going to switch back over here to my list of open remote desktop connections, and I'm going to switch over to my SPF server. So the SPF server is basically a fancy web server that has a OData API, an open data API behind it, so that the Windows Azure Pack can send requests to this SPF website running on the SPF web server and have those requests be passed along to VMM for processing and then provide responses back in an XML format that the Windows Azure Pack portal sites can consume. So generally what you would do is you'd set up some of the prerequisite components. You have IIS installed and whatnot, and all of the prerequisites, and then you install the SPF component and configure it. And if you wanted to see what that communication actually looks like, you can actually test just by browsing into the SPF website. So I'm just going to drop over to my browser, and I'm going to browse out to the SPF OData service just to test it and make sure that it's able to communicate back and forth. Now, I'm using self-signed certificates in my environment, so I have this little warning that comes up on my certificate. I'll tell it to continue, and it'll ask me to log in with the credentials of an account that during the installation I authorized to use SPF. So I'm just going to log in with my account because I'm authorized, and once we've done that, we should get, if everything's working correctly, we should get this XML back that basically provides the metadata for the information that we can communicate back and forth through the Windows Azure Pack portal sites and through this SPF layer to our VMM management servers. And you'll see that it's got lots of different data elements that can be communicated back and forth around everything that VMM can manage for private clouds, for virtual machines, for VM templates, so on and so forth. So what this tells me is now I know SPF is up and running, is providing that OData interface, and it's allowing me to successfully communicate with my VMM management server. Andy, any additional points or tips that you have on this area?
No, it's pretty cut and dry. You know, I think the good thing to mention here is, as far as the Azure Pack is concerned, it needs all this information from SCVMM, and you know, knowledge is power. So that's I just kind of like to joke about that.
Yep. And the other piece, the other reason that I bring up this this browser and show this example is, as you're going through the process of setting up VMM and then SPF and then the Windows Azure Pack on top of it, that's three different layers of components. And so what I usually recommend is kind of take a step-by-step approach and make sure each layer is working before you go on to the next layer. And so after installing and configuring SPF, definitely do this test. Make sure that you're getting a successful response back. If you're not, that means that SPF isn't configured correctly. Go back and look at the step-by-step walkthrough on building out SPF that we have available for everyone. And and confirm that. Because if SPF isn't working at this point, and you try to install the Windows Azure pack on top of it, it's not Windows Azure pack is not going to work either, since it relies on this component.
Yeah, save yourself a lot of headache by doing that one simple check before moving on. That's for sure.
Yep, definitely. So now that we've got SPF up and running, I'm just going to switch back over here into my lab environment. There we go. And we'll switch over to our Windows Azure Pack VM. So for the Windows Azure Pack itself, we recommend running that as a separate virtual or set of physical servers as well. And there's a couple different ways of being able to deploy the Windows Azure Pack. In smaller environments or lab environments, you can do what's called an express installation, which is what I have here, where all of the Azure Pack portal components are all installed inside one VM, and then they communicate with SPF running that other VM that we were just looking at. But in larger environments where you may have lots of virtualization hosts, multiple VMM servers, perhaps multiple data centers, the Windows Azure Pack also has a distributed deployment model where you can scale it out and distribute the various components of the Windows Azure Pack across several VMs to scale to reach the level of scale that you need to support your environment. Once you install the Windows Azure Pack, and you'll find down at the bottom of the page underneath the video a great link to a step-by-step guide for getting that all up and running and installed, you'll be able to log in to the admin portal, which is the portal that we were looking at a little earlier. So this is our Windows Azure Pack admin portal. And in order to connect Windows Azure Pack over to your VMM private clouds through that SPF communications layer that we just looked at a few moments ago, what we do is we go over to VM Clouds on our admin portal and we create a new connection. So when I create a new connection, it's going to ask me for my virtual machine manager server host name, the fully qualified domain name, the port number that it's running on, and if you left it at the default port of 8100, you can leave that blank, and then a remote desktop gateway as an optional component. The remote desktop gateway can be used as a gateway to provide console access to VMs that are on isolated networks. It's particularly handy if you're using Hyper-V network virtualization and each tenant has a completely isolated network environment, because the gateway allows you to gateway into those VM consoles regardless if you have normal network access through your public network into the subnets that those VMs are running on.
I think that's a real key point as far as management goes, because, you know, especially if you've been working on the VMware side at all, you know, you always have to remote into this network to manage these hosts, remote into this network to manage this vCenter server. Having this centralized location where you can get to the consoles of each VM, regardless of where they're running on, that's a big time saver.
Definitely. And it actually uses, underneath the covers, one of the new features of Windows Server 2012 R2 Hyper-V, where it provides the ability to have a remote desktop connection be brokered over a Hyper-V host's VM bus, so that if you have several VMs that are running on isolated networks, disconnected networks, for instance, across those various virtualized networks that you have set up, as long as the hosts can communicate with the remote desktop gateway at a host level, it allows those connections to be brokered securely across the VM bus and into the remote desktop connection on each of those VMs. Mm-hmm. Yep. So pretty slick. So once we've registered our VMM server, you'll see each of the private clouds that we previously defined. So remember, when we were looking in our VMM console, we had the developers cloud and the lab testers cloud that we configured without any of those host profiles enabled, so that they appear here. And it'll show me my current utilization across all of my tenants that I've assigned access to for all of my private clouds. And I can drill into more details on particular virtual machines or networks or whatnot and see which tenants on which clouds are using which resources. And I can do some basic filtering and reporting, which is really useful if you're running in a multi-tenant environment. You're trying to pull back just the VMs that are running for a particular tenant. Once I've got my connection to my VM cloud established, well, then I can go over to plans, and I can set up one or more subscription plans for my tenants. So you see here I've got a developer plan. I just created that plan using my new button. And if we drill into the properties of this developer plan, you'll see that we can add in one or more plan services. So I can specify virtual machine clouds or SQL servers or other add-ons. And for my virtual machine clouds, I can specify which cloud that this plan corresponds to, and my usage limits of how much resource utilization I want to limit this plan to. So the whole idea here is we're setting up kind of a subscription level that we can assign to one or more tenants. So you could think of this as in the hosting world as maybe a gold plan or a platinum plan or a silver plan. Each plan might have access to different types of services, might have access to different private clouds that have different capabilities associated with them on the VMM side, and might have different levels of resource usage that are associated with them as well. So it allows you to tailor your plans to the needs of your various user levels. Once I've got my plan set up, then it's a matter of just going over to users and adding in your users and tying them in to those particular plans. We can also allow users to select the plan that they would like to be billed for, either internally or externally, depending on their whether you're a hosting partner or an internal IT department, when they sign up on the tenant portal as well. So a lot of flexibility. So you'll see I've got a couple developer accounts that are set up here. I've got developer one and developer two. And if I drill in to developer one, we'll see that that user is assigned to the developer plan. And what that means is if I now go over to my tenant portal and sign in as developer one, like I have here, remember the developer plan gave me the ability to create virtual machines and SQL Server databases and whatnot. And so as I step through the process as a developer, I can click new. I can specify maybe a new virtual machine, for instance. And when I go into From Gallery, remember all those VM templates that we had inside VMM that were defined? Well, now they're poking through as the templates that this developer user can use through the Windows Azure Pack portal on a completely self-service basis to provision new VMs. So we've got the DB server template, for instance. They can type in a name, computer name, that'll get provisioned on that server, an administrator username and password, perhaps. If a product key is required, they can enter the product key and then assign it to one of the virtual networks that either the admin has provisioned and given them access to as part of their plan, or that they've created if we were using Hyper-V network virtualization. Once the VMs are provisioned and up and running, they'll appear under the virtual machines page. And actually, I think I've got another copy of the console that's logged in as developer 02. Yep, there we go. So now I'm logged in as developer 02. Developer 02 previously had created a VM. So it went through the process of provisioning that VM. We'll see it's running. It's on the developer plan. And just like the public Microsoft Azure portal, I've got the same interface now for being able to connect to the remote console of that VM, to pause it, to restart it, shut it down, stop it, or by clicking on the name of the VM to drill into the configuration properties for being able to change the size of that VM or attach or detach additional virtual hard disks for storing data. So pretty cool capabilities that we can turn on for providing consistent levels of self-service access to our private clouds in the same manner that users may already be accustomed to out on the Microsoft Azure public cloud platform, to provide that level of hybrid cloud consistency across the board. Andy, what do you think? Does it look good from your standpoint?
Oh, yeah. There's certainly a lot of power and a lot of potential for service, self-service here. And, you know, from a service provider perspective, there's a trend here. From a service provider perspective, there's a lot of time spent doing projects for customers. You know, a customer will come to us and say, hey, we've got this project. We need a SQL server, an application server, and a file server. And usually, you know, especially with on-premise equipment, you know, an engineer has to go on site, has to, okay, let's build this virtual machine, let's build this virtual machine. Time spent actually spinning up the environment. Whereas with the Azure pack here and Microsoft Azure, the public cloud, just going in and saying, hey, I need these three things, go. And it provisions it for you. You're taking a project that could potentially take days and you're shrinking it down to, you know, 30 minutes, an hour, you know, however long it takes to provision that service.
Yep, definitely. No, definitely. And for those types of multi-VM packages where you may need to provision, as you had mentioned, perhaps a database server VM, a web server VM, and an app server VM as part of a package, with the Windows Azure pack, we also have the ability to develop virtual machine roles. And just like the little picture here shows, a virtual machine role is basically a container that allows us to encompass multiple VMs all in an automated provisioning process. So that instead of having to provision each of those VMs individually as standalone virtual machines through the Windows Azure pack, we could define a service definition as a virtual machine role for a particular multi-tier application and have the definitions of each of those VMs that make up each tier all as part of that one consistent definition. In a future episode, we'll actually drill into a bit more on configuring virtual machine roles and populating our gallery. Right now, our gallery is blank. We haven't done any of that work yet. But in a future episode, we'll be filling that out as well with more sophistication. In addition, as we go down the path, we've talked about a few other components that we'll be looking at in future episodes too. So back over on our admin portal, we talked about the remote desktop gateway as part of connecting to our VM cloud. So coming up on in our series, we'll go through an episode where we'll configure that remote desktop gateway to provide remote desktop access. And then in addition, you may have noticed over on our server management portal, we've also got automation and user costing that's available as well. So we can configure automation so that as we have certain activities that are more complex that need to spin up, either perhaps in response to something that's going on inside some of our VMs or perhaps just an automated way of provisioning a portion of our tenant environment, we can automate all of that through PowerShell runbooks that run off on a service management automation or SMA server. In addition, we've got built-in support for user costing, for being able to do showback or billback reporting of the resources that the tenants are consuming on the clouds and the plans that they've been assigned to. So that'll be a couple other episodes down the road as well that we'll be going into more detail. So we've gone through today kind of getting started with the Windows Azure pack to see how you can quickly ramp up and get everything plugged together, and then we'll be extending that over the next few episodes as well. Andy, what do you think? Does that make sense from your standpoint, that approach?
Oh, yeah, sounds like we got some good stuff coming up, absolutely.
Yeah, so definitely stay tuned, everybody.
Heck yeah.
So, and I know that with everything you've seen in today's episode, you're probably chomping at the bit to get this set up in your own lab environment. Well, good news. Down at the bottom of the page that you're viewing this video on, we also have a step-by-step getting started guide that steps through the installation and configuration of the service provider framework, the SPF framework, as well as the Windows Azure pack components. And it goes step by step in making sure that everything's configured just exactly right, that everything's able to communicate so that you can make sure you're successful very quickly in getting the Windows Azure pack set up in your own private cloud environment. Well, Andy, what do you say? Does it make sense to head back to the office?
Yep.
Okay, well, let's head back to the office and we'll finish up our episode today.
Sounds good.
Well, hey, Andy, thanks so much for joining me today to walk through the getting started with the Windows Azure pack with everyone.
Hey, not a problem. It was fun. Good stuff.
Great, great. And I look forward to having you back if you're interested for future episodes as we continue on our process of getting the Windows Azure pack fleshed out for everyone.
Oh, yeah. There sounds like we got a lot of good stuff coming up. I wouldn't miss it.
Cool. Great. Well, I look forward to that. And I look forward to seeing all of you as well on our future episodes as we take our installation of the Windows Azure pack for our on-demand self-service private cloud environment that has consistent management with the Microsoft Azure platform and extend that with remote desktop console support, with service management automation, and with user costing and reporting over the next few episodes. Again, everyone, if you're interested in building out this environment for yourself in your own lab, just look down below. You'll find a link to a great step-by-step article that'll walk you through the process. And be sure to leave any comments or feedback that you have on the episode or on your success once you've gone through the process of building out the Windows Azure pack for yourself. Thanks, everybody, for watching today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it and look forward to seeing you on our next episode of Building Your Hybrid Cloud on TechNet Radio. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.